This is how much we know about movies. We just, this, if you want a raw review of movies, you're getting it right here, because we don't know shit.
Dad!
Oh, fuck, I don't know, man. Is that like nostalgia purposes for kids these age?
Well, I don't give a shit. I don't care.
Forget that, Pop.
Fine, I'll Google it. Through the magic
of podcasting.
I mean,
you don't have to Google it. I'm just saying, you just take it out.
No, no.
Not bring it out, or just be better prepared.
Now I'm gonna shut your fucking mouth.
I am your father.
Man, sometimes I wish, like, things would stay at a simpler time mentality.
Welcome to the Two Dads Review Podcast. What's up, man?
Not much, buddy.
I'm already recording because I had to make sure I remembered how to do this shit still. I was like, it's been a while.
I need to remember. I still know how to do this shit.
Hey, man,
I feel you've done enough audio editing and recording that, like, when you're old and your grandkids don't know what the hell's going on, you'll just be doing the motions with your hands and things. And like, is this on? You hear me? Like, and they'll be like, dude, I don't know who the fuck he's talking to. Like,
right. Just, when I finally go, it'll be my brain that doesn't know where I'm anymore. It'll be hanging out with you. That's great.
Right.
It has been a little while though. And we're like 1 week away as of tonight recording this from the series premiere of Lower Decks, which is cool because we now have, since our COVID break, our summer of what the fuckery in America break, we have finally learned when Discovery season 3 is going to drop, which is going to be literally the week after Lower Decks ends. So they're touting this 23 weeks of straight new Star Trek content, and I'm okay with that. We've got 23 weeks scheduled, so we'll be fine. You have a look on your face like you don't know what's happening over there.
I don't.
What's wrong? Luckily, I have your backup running while you decide whether or not yours is going to record.
No, mine's recording. It's just like, it's, I have the fan blowing right now and it's snagging it. But I reformatted my computer and I had like, but I have just built in, what's the word? I can't pronounce, attenuation over here on the, you know, a dot.
What is that?
Like the, when you, the decibel level of where the microphone will ring, they get the,
okay.
The attenuation. I have no idea. Like I said, I don't know how to fucking say
it. As your audio guy, I have no fucking clue what you're talking about.
But anywho, it's like basically where you, I have a button, or not a button, but a knob that, like, if I can turn it all the way to 10, dude, you would hear every fucking thing. And then I can, right, like, turn it down and it, like, closes the field range, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like I have it turned all the way to 0 and you can hear me. So now that's why I had this puzzled look and I'm like, is it the webcam that's hearing me now? It's like, let me go look. That's why I was looking all dumbfounded.
No, you're definitely talking through your mic. I'm definitely hearing you through your mic, not through some webcam far away microphone.
Ugh, I hate setting shit back up after I've already fucking done it. Like, just even like the layout of things, you know, I'm like, my buttons aren't where they used to be. Oh yeah, they didn't.
you're such an old man.
Import my fucking settings. Blah, 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 blah.
You like it when you can just lay your old phone on your new phone and it just transfers how everything is there and just like sets it all up like it was before. So there's no like,
I hate that shit. I start like new phone, I start from scratch, but like I have like everything.
It takes me roughly 3 to 4 months to get all the apps that I actually use back. Cause I won't have ones that I use very often. Then all of a sudden I'll be like scrolling through my apps looking for a like, specific app. And I'm like, I guess I haven't downloaded that yet. I guess I need to get to that one now. And it's like, you know, yeah, you start your list from scratch again.
You can tell how much time I put into this after I got it set up one time. I was like, we're good.
Quit.
Don't need to fuck right. with it no more. Push that red button when it starts. Let's go.
Right.
Like, this is generally making me feel stupid.
Mm-hmm. What are you getting? Are you seeing a lot of noise in your recording? Is that what you're seeing?
No, I'm just like confused now on how like, that can be turned all the way down and like you are still hearing me, like not even like I'm muffled. You know what I'm saying? Like it didn't, And I know,
but I also don't have any other noise. Maybe that's what it is, though. I also don't have any other noise from your air, from your side. It's strictly the voice in front of the mic. So yeah. Maybe that's what you want. I don't know.
Yeah, because that's defaulted. So like this part's good. Whatever, it's recording. Fuck it, I don't give a
shit. Just fine. Any hoozle. So yeah, I mean, it's been a little while for us.
And not my part of the job on the on the podcast. You're right.
I don't care if the audio fucking works
much anymore, right? Glad that epiphany just happened.
It's been a while for us. I definitely miss talking to you every week, like on a scheduled basis. But part of me was just kind of like relaxed for the last like month, where I'm like, you know, I don't have to like figure out what the next week's gonna be. I don't have to like watch this show three different times and then maybe possibly not care, because, you know, City of Angels, like, it, that was probably the first time in our 3+ years of podcasting where I literally was just like, I did not even promote the last episode. I didn't put it on Twitter. I just put it on the page, on the like on our Audio Boom channel. I just put it up and was like, fuck it. Like, you listen to that 17 minutes of bullshit, you help yourself, because that show just ripped it out of me. And while you get hurt by TV a lot, I'm not that bad. But this time, man, I was just like, I can't. I just was not into it. And yeah. I think I may have put it on a pedestal before it ever came out. That may have been my problem.
Yeah, that show just took a strong, like, I ain't going nowhere nosedive. Like, just, I mean, and then when you watched the last episode of it, you went, y'all could have just showed EP 1 then and then just fucking shown this one. Like, that was it. Like, nothing's, and I don't know if it was like one of those shows where it's supposed to be like, you know, nothing changes, it doesn't matter. Like, you know, that whole fucking bullshit, right. But it was dumb. Like, I really thought it was going to be cool, especially for the monstery mix we got in the first Penny Dreadful. Mm-hmm. And then this one, like, they hyped it up like it was, but then it was just really a lot of people making some poor decisions. And then
demon lady.
Yeah, who was just there. Like, literally at a point, it was just, why are you even here?
Right. These people are going to fuck up on their own. We don't really need you to do it. Like, they're going to be shitty anyways.
Yeah, and it's just weird because it's supposed to be an anthology, but it's like an anthology of what, 3 seasons now? Is that what you guys are, your anthology's revolving door? Because if that was supposed to be like you're starting in and then we just kind of take the same cats and roll into something new, well, that shit sucks. You may not have hooked
enough people. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I may have to tune back in next season if there is one. I don't know. I kind of feel like I need to apologize to our listeners just a little bit. It's just, you know, we weren't really into the last 2 episodes. It was, you know, we're stuck at home. We're at we're in this. Anybody who listens in the States knows exactly what we're talking about. Anybody who's listening outside the States, congratulations on actually having possibly a government that can actually handle the coronavirus and actually make you guys calm down and sit at home and fight the curve and all that shit. Because you know who's not fucking doing it? America. And we are the laughing stock of the world right now, and we friggin' deserve
right
it
now.
So right, well, I mean, you know, yeah, for the past 3 years for sure, but definitely right now, like, everyone's like, yep, that's you know, it's kind of like you know,
well, it's just shit like, okay, Florida opened up or whatever, and then they continue to have every day almost, it's like new record, right? But I love how all the sports teams are like, hey, Florida's the bubble we need to go play in. And I know there's a ton of facilities and shit down there and everything, but I'm like, I kind of feel like you guys should all take these people out to a more desolate area,
right,
and play your sports there. Like, I know they won't have shit to do, but then you won't have the, hey, why are you at a strip club wearing the coronavirus mask shit we gave you,
right,
celebrating with rappers and whatnot, right? You know?
Yeah. Okay. You know what? Let's get into that a little bit before we get into talking about Guns Akimbo, which we're going to talk about because Corey has... We're going to go down a path about this movie that y'all are not ready for. So just hang on, but we're going to talk a little bit of day-to-day stuff. Talk about speaking of Florida, the Marlins this week just had, like, 14 guys pop
Yeah, 17. Yeah.
Now
yeah.
is it 17? Yeah. I knew that a few more got
the number keeps going up either way.
You cannot talk about a less contact sport. You know what I'm saying? Like baseball. Like everybody's like, okay, maybe baseball worked because there really isn't that much like touching. Like basketball, you got you're laying on a guy. Football, you're literally face to face spitting at each other's face. I mean, the only company who seems to be doing it right, and I think it's only because of how dedicated and how not and dedicated is the wrong word, but so UFC, you and I have been partaking in absorbently since all this has started because it's the only live sport on right now, and they haven't had very many pops positive, and I think it's because those dudes, especially right before the fight, like 2 to 3 weeks before the fight, they are like, I'm not seeing my family, I am training, I am living and sleeping in the gym until my fight.
Well, and most of those guys do that, and then all their gyms, then all their gyms are like locked down. Like, I know one of the gyms has it basically where, like, hey, if you're competitor A, you go in this door, your four guys go here, this is your section of shit to train with. Like, and then if you're competitor B, you're here. But it's also, it's only one on one, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. It's one on one. But their method before their contest was, even before any sort of virus thing, was always kind of isolated, and they have to get in their zone and they don't want any distractions, and they have to like, so you know, these people are already kind of used to being like, okay, honey, I got my fight in 2 weeks. I'll see you guys when the fight's over. I'm going to go train for, you know, I'm going to go do my final training for, you know, whatever. So these guys are practically quarantining themselves anyways. And now you have a company who's figured this out. They realize they don't need the fans. They don't need, you know, they actually, in fact, the fans of UFC and of mixed martial arts end up enjoying it more because you get to, like, hear the fight, not the crowd.
After watching the first one, I think I told you, I was like, dude, if UFC offered me a way to just mute the crowd, or like let me turn it on during the replay of the knockout so I can hear it, you know, like, but when I'm watching the fight, yeah, like I love hearing the fighters, I love hearing the announcers better. I love hearing the like thunderous slaps that fucking happen, you know, when someone's getting crushed. But I also like when I watch soccer, it's the same way. Like they have one that's natural sound, and then they have one that's like game sound, and they'll pump basically FIFA background noise in there.
Right.
And I like watching those games too without sound, because I can hear the players talk on the field and communicate and things like that. Like I don't need to hear the oohs and ahs and the clappings and the all that shit. Like I don't ever want it, especially in UFC when they start doing the woo, because it's a boring fucking thing. Oh, like give me a woo button just to block that out. Like,
yeah, right.
Let me find a woo filter and I'll be all right.
And I don't have any scientific like knowledge for this whatsoever.
I would like to just throw out there, when was the last time you had much scientific knowledge on just true. About anything?
Never, you're right. So the correct statement is I never have any scientific knowledge and or numbers for anything I talk about. It's all my opinion. But I tweeted one time after a match because somebody submitted, and I tweeted, I think from this account, from the Two Dads Review account on Twitter, that I think the injury level or the level of injury from a submission is also lessened when there's no crowd, because the ref can hear the tap, can hear the guy saying, I give, I tap, 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 tap. Like you can hear him saying it along with getting it. And so the ref isn't trying to get around when the guy's got the dude up under him breaking his arm the wrong way and he can't, you know, see where he's going. These guys are able to tap and save their, you know, they're not out for 6 to 9 months because they had a dislocated elbow or some shit. You know, they had a hyperextension that puts them out 6 to 8 weeks. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's another thing that they're going to find out. Oh shit, we can either fight our fighters more often, or we can fight. They can stay healthier longer, and I think in a long run, it's going to turn out to be better for the sport as well.
No, there's no way they will continue without fans.
They won't
make money. That's the whole point of the, like, none of those guys would get paid. You know, like right now, everything is pretty much on
sponsors.
Well, it's sponsors, but it's like all the guys get on like their pay-per-view or whatever they're just negotiated for that fight is, and it's strictly relying on pay-per-view revenue and whatever people have already thrown in there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, for anybody to like, for, I mean, especially since all these fighters want more money, which you should get, you're beating the fuck out of yourself. Same thing with like any professional athlete, like your job is to train and be stupid awesome at this sport. And if mm-hmm. that sport is making billions of dollars, then you should at minimum be a fucking millionaire. Like that's just all there is to it. Now, if you did something that doesn't make money like that, like that's just the shitty outcome of it. You know, it's not popular enough or it's not, you know, whatever. But yeah, I mean, if I just like, I like the fans being there and I like the hype and the guys walking out to all the shit. I just want to be able to turn them off during the fight.
You would have dropped a cone of silence around the ring.
Yeah, we're like at least just, I don't know. Like, I just feel with the audio technology that we have today, there has got to be a way to have near field mics on the cage that I mm-hmm. could hear the stuff in the cage. I'm not saying I'm going to hear it clear as day as I hear it now, right? Because there's going to be people in the background. But I got to at least be able to take a decibel level and go, okay, if people want to mute it, we'll just say anything over the non-essential bullshit that's going on in the background, we'll mute it.
You know what you need? You need Japanese professional wrestling fans. That's what you need. If you ever pull up a Japanese professional wrestling match, like they are the fans that sit very quietly until there's something big, and then they'll all clap, and then they'll stop. And it'll all be completely silent through the whole like the match, except when they're supposed to cheer after a big something. Or someone's about to, if someone's about to tap or submit or get pinned, you hear the crowd go, whoa, and then they stop. I mean, it's great, but it's always like complete silence unless that. So all the kicks, you'd hear the slap and then the cheer, like, you know, in MMA.
Like, we don't have polite fans in any sport.
Goddamn, we do not. You are correct.
No, like our whole persona in sportings is like, it's a ruckus. Like, I'm going to go there and get fucked up and watch an event and be fucking ridiculous and then, like, go the fuck home. Like, that is the sporting right there. There's no, like,
you know,
watch the guy pass the ball six times and they're really clean and crisp and you're like, yeah, and then it goes quiet again. There's none of that shit. It's like, fucking slow losers, move the goddamn ball, cunt ass ho. Fuck yeah, goal! We're awesome! Like, that's us. Like, I hate going to public sporting events because I sit there and I'm like,
I just want to watch.
I'm not one of you. I just want to watch the fucking game.
Yeah, way to completely explain why we're handling the coronavirus the way we are. Just that just sums up everything. So yeah, that's we've had a few weeks off in between podcasts. We are set with Star Trek down the line. If you're into Star Trek, please tune in to our next podcast. We got, as they say, 23 weeks of brand new content. So as long as we're our schedule, that's all you're getting is Star Trek. You're getting Lower Decks for 10 episodes, and you're getting Discovery Season 3 for 13 episodes. So there you go. That'll put us through till, I don't know, probably through the end of the year almost, or just past the end of the year. So we're set till 2021, and we can restart this. We can start another year. Dear God, let's get out of 2020. That's our goal. Is that we're going to ride Star Trek out of 2020. That's my plan.
Right.
Just get me out of this fucking year. Oh, man. But without further ado, and I'll probably mark this in the podcast so people know where they're going. You don't want to hear us talk and talk about Guns Akimbo? Let's just jump to this timestamp. This is where you're coming to. And
let's go to go to about the 20-minute mark. There's a lot of bullshit in there.
Right. Right. There's only one reason we're talking about this movie right now. You watched it. You said, hey, you should check this out. I checked it out. It was okay for me. I was like, you know, guns, blood, awesome. I'm always on board for some good action movie. But then you and I got talking one day, and you had a very interesting reaction to this movie. And I'd like you to go ahead and explain to our listeners what that was.
Well, the girl that plays Nyx, Samara Weaving, she is very normal looking in all like day to day life. But in this movie, it's like they took Skid Vicious and Mad Max and threw it together in a female form who's like an utter badass with guns for the most part. But she's also got like fangs, and I was really in like, I like weird things on people, and I can really like hook, line, and sinker into one pretty easily. And I liked her teeth, man. Like they were.
Was it just her look, or was it like the fact that she wanted to kill him? Did that also like get you going? Was that a thing? It was her. Was it Nyx? Were you digging Nyx? Or because don't get me wrong, Samara Weaving. What, you know, she was in Ash versus the Evil Dead for a couple episodes, if you didn't know that.
Yeah.
She was in, you know, so she's been in things you've seen before, but was it,
well,
was
no,
it
this look
Nyx that you're well, yeah, into? Yeah, you're into Nyx.
Yeah, I'm into Nyx. Like, if she was Nyx and we were all in a bar situation, like, I would have been the one dude that's like, I'm probably going to die, but there is something in my body that is not letting me commit suicide that's about to happen. Like, I would just be hook, line, and sinker. Dude, she's got these fucking fangs and they're capped. And like, as soon as she does this like little fucking like grill, like half tooth show, I was like, oh, that's it. I think that was, yeah, that was the driving point right there. And yeah, dude, I was like, fuck, I got a crush on Nyx. Like, I have a crush on a mass murderer right now.
I really should reevaluate things that I've did. I should really reevaluate where my
yeah,
head
I mean,
is
yeah, this might explain some of my choices with women in life. They were very dangerous choices.
Right. What I was waiting for you to tell me before, when we first talked about it, was like, yeah, she was hot until she was on his side, like not trying to kill him. Then it wasn't as good. And I'm like, then you're really fucked up if she has to be trying to kill you.
Yeah, you, yeah. Like when she was all like, oh, I'm going to be good and everything. I was like, I mean, that's cool. Like, that's your buddy. Like, I would want you to do that with me. But the rest of the time from any third party out, like, I need you to be normal Nyx. Like, that drives dad fucking bonkers. I like that mass mayhem killing shit. And then you might just come home with some blood on you and fucking slap me and go to town. Like, I'm like, yo, let's do this shit. I'm ready.
Time to beat the fuck out of daddy. Come on, yeah, girl.
Get it. Little abuse, you know, safe words. I don't think she would respect it, but hey. There would be one.
right. The whole point of having the safe word is for her not to listen to it.
Right.
And still beat the shit out of you.
What's that mumbles? Bananas, cupcakes, orange passion fruit, anything to make it stop, but no.
But don't stop. Oh, man. I've been doing this with you for 3 years, and then nothing you say surprises me at all. That's just that I'm not even disturbed by this whatsoever. I completely understand you and where you're coming from with this. That being said, I'll watch Harry Potter and anything. You have to like some of these younger actors who started a franchise, made a butt ton of money, and then they could just look at scripts and go, that looks fun. I'm going to do this because, the part I was reading on the trivia, the part that sold Daniel Radcliffe on this movie was when he got to the page where he had to learn how to pee with guns bolted to his hands. He's like, I'm fucking doing this movie.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, that right there is basically like her teeth to me. Like, I would have been like, page, huh? Yeah, all right, I'm cool. Like, you, whatever the rest of it is, I'm fine. Does not matter. This has now sold me. I'm good. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, so, I mean, Daniel Radcliffe does a great job. The plot is this decade's Crank, kind of? Did you watch Crank back in the day? You're a Statham fan. You had to watch Crank.
Yeah, I mean, this is basically like Crank, Gamer, you know, like whatever.
Gamer. Did you like Gamer? I loved Gamer, and I'm not sure if
Gamer
I should
Gamer was
have.
Cool until What's-His-Face was the bad guy.
Spoiler alert, right?
Well, the serial killer show on Showtime.
But that was the best part.
No,
his soft
and his stupid little dance, and
his
then
dance,
and then the
I
worst, and then the
part.
Worst part is the only reason he was cool in Dexter, right? Is because he was a good guy doing bad things,
right?
And you're like, all right, because he played a little nerdy and a little offset because that's what he looks like. But when he's just supposed to be a dude that's a bad guy, his face is too rubbery in the non-scary way. He just looks goofy and fucking dumb. And if I was a dude with another gun, and granted he had like nanobots controlling him or whatever in that fucking movie, but at no point would I have been like, this guy's going to be a problem for me. Like, it's just one of those where like you get to the bad guy. And this is him in anything. Like, Dexter worked for him, 6 Feet worked for him because he plays a neurotic dude well. But when you put him as just like a, I don't have something mentally like eating me away in the back of me, he is just like the goofiest fucking dude in the world. He's like so goofy and weird that you're just like, hey, kids, just stay away from Uncle John. Like, just, he's weird. From
Uncle Michael C. Hall.
Yeah. Don't like, go he's near weird. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I do remember that, but I do remember like geeking it because I think Dexter was still on the.
Yeah, air I could when see you geeking the fuck out because Dexter was most certainly in its prime, like right. Like as the tail end of like the, it was Dexter's the shit, and the last season was coming out, I think, and then like Gamer happened in between there, so you didn't get rocked by the I'm just going off to the woods bullshit, and.
Like, Lumberjack Dexter.
Yeah, right. So you were like, oh shoot, it's Dexter. But then he all comes out and he's like, hey, I got nanobots. Watch me do a little two-step and I'm a fucking loser. God.
I do see, but I do remember. You know what? That makes me want to watch the movie again, though, because I like Gerard Butler. I don't care what he's in. I'll watch it because he's entertaining to watch. The man knows how to keep you on him in an action movie. Like, he is definitely a good action star. And I really enjoyed Gamer. But yeah, so I mean, yeah, I kind of feel like Guns Akimbo had that same, you know, it only took place over a short amount of time. It was only like, what, one day, right?
Like, yeah, like maybe two at most.
A day or two, maybe.
Yeah, and if there was like a cut scene, you didn't move by like to the end of the week or anything, you know?
No, it was a short amount of time, and it was just kind of nonsense. I mean, the plot wasn't, these kind of movies don't need an intricate plot. You have Guy A, who's a guy who just likes shitting on internet trolls and pissing people off on the internet. He's a keyboard warrior.
Yeah, well, basically you get like Daniel Radcliffe's character basically gets like picked on in his day to day life, right? So then
he's a coder for one of those games. It's just a shit game to like.
Yeah, but you can also tell this is kind of like in the beginning of Wanted 2, where he just is not the like he doesn't stand up for himself.
Edit that. Which one's Wanted? What are you talking about? Which one's Wanted?
The one with Angelina Jolie and they can curve bullets.
Oh, what a great movie. That's such a bad, great movie, too.
But like at the beginning of that, it's the same thing. Like he gets picked on in the office and yada, yada, yada. And then like outside circumstances forces him to change who he is. He meets somebody crazy and you're like, oh shit, I'm not here for this. But yes, you are. You're doing it all. And you're like, basically, that's how the story gets going. Like there is this crazy internet shit where somebody just fucking like gets snatched up and it's like, hey, you're now in this. Go kill that guy. And it's all like pirate radio and shit like that, you know, broadcasting and stuff. So people tune
Schism.
In. Yeah. People tune in on their phones and everything. Well, he gets home one day after getting the fucking shit rolls downhill method of management. And he gets home, hits the Schism site and then like decides to go all keyboard warrior on him. Well, I would kind of imagine. Now, this is just me that if I was going to go gamble with some folks that can run some pirate fucking murder game, that I would imagine the guy knows how to sort out an IP address from someone talking a little shit about the gaming lifestyle I chose to live.
Like, right. Exactly. Like these guys are running some black ops style, you know, they're not getting caught by the cops, so no one's catching them. So you're going to run your shit without any sort of like
and the best
spoofing your IP or anything.
Well, the best part is like, I like how this movie films it like we're in the real world, but it's also filmed in that acceptable reality, right? So there's like shit going on and people are watching this and no one really else out there though is reacting to it. So like if they're walking on the street and one of the players in the fucking Schism comes running by, like basically they're just go ignore it, let it go by, like do its shit, whatever. Like no one dares messes with it. And you can kind of see why. Like, this is him getting snatched up like this also gets the story going, but it kind of shows the reality of the world. Like, because to me, you got people cheering Knicks on, right? But there's also got to be like another 80% of the population that's like, what the fuck is happening? Why is this bitch riding around right. with a bazooka blowing people the fuck up, right?
Like, right. Yeah, I mean, you had her like in Central Park, like blowing up a drone yes. with a bazooka, and everybody's just like walking their dogs and shit.
Mm-hmm. Like, if we don't mess with it, we're okay. You right. know, kind of thing. Yeah, it was a right. very...
Like, take cover. Make sure you... Make sure you don't get in their way.
Mm-hmm. And the best part about the whole schism concept was, though, it's like, it's not even where they do it, how they did it in Death Race, where they get a reward for getting out of this or like whatever, right? Like, Nyx's things was that she was told this, yes. But in a lot of the other movies where they do this, there's a whole big built up into that. You know, there's like, why you've been doing this for years? Well, I'm going to work my way to my freedom or whatever. But she was essentially collateral damage from her dad's basically doing the exact same thing to this guy, like busting up one of his things and then running his mouth a little too much. And the guy that runs Schism decided to set his whole fucking family on fire in a car.
Right. Yeah. There was, you know, the special effects were decent. A lot of the, it has that newer look of the gunshots. You can tell that most of the blood isn't squibs. It's pretty much just the CG after the fact type mm-hmm. stuff. But the choreography for the fights, her gunfights, especially towards the beginning, were just gorgeous. Gorgeous gunfights. The one where her and him break into the building. I think that's more towards the end. But any time that she is like the camera's on her and she's doing her stuff, killing people, the choreography was great for that.
Yeah,
it was just in the stunt. You could tell the stunt guys were having a blast with it.
Yeah, the gunfighting is cool because in one aspect, like when you first see the Schism, you have Nyx where she's like wild, but it's controlled mayhem, right? Like, do you remember Smoking Aces?
I believe so. Yeah. Yes. Yes. I
do. All right. So you remember like the group of hitmen that just like rolled into the Italian restaurant and just murdered the whole thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she would do that if the people were in there, right? But she's also calculated enough to go, well, is it easier for me to just let them walk out the door, right? And then you see the guy she's first that's like hunting her down. That dude was just swerving all over the place, like with two other guys that were also like hunting her down. So he went out of his way to like hire people for this shit. And like, I don't know, either the Schism dude was like, all right, Nyx has killed like six fucking people. Give this dude some help. Like, I don't know where his extra people came from. So it's just kind of like a anything fucking goes wild, wild, wild west kind of
right.
fight. And then all of a sudden, this motherfucker gets snatched up out of his house. And the best part is he's like, why are you here? Oh God. And he realizes like what it is. And he's like, I'm sorry. And then the dude just like knocks him the fuck out. Just flat out. Uh-huh. Okay. Like, I love bad guys that are like that. Like, just genuinely like, I'm going to be a bad guy. And that's it. There's no other layer to it. Like, the dude that runs Schism is just a bad guy. Like, he likes that shit. That's what he's fucking into. There's no crazy backstory with him or anything like that. And Radcliffe's character is great. Like, he wakes up as anybody would that just had guns bolted to their fucking hands. And like, what do I do? And like, you realize that, I love one of the things they first showed is when he accidentally fires the gun, the recoil from the bolts in his hands, like it fucking hurt him.
Right.
Like, bad. So you get why Nyx is coked out all of the fucking time and things like that. Cause you don't know, one, like, I don't know how many living wounds she's still rocking while this is going on, kind of thing.
Right.
But he didn't know how to shoot a gun. You know, like, there's that whole interaction between them where she
teaches him.
She like teaches him how to shoot the fucking gun. She felt that bad for him. Like, I love that his character, even when he got thrown into the shit, still did this whole, like, I don't know what to do, but he was smart enough to like keep moving, right? You know, it wasn't just like he froze and stayed there because he got picked on too much. There wasn't that shit. It was just like, I'm trying to kill you, but I'm not good at this. You know, like, right. I don't want to be here.
Well, and yeah, a lot of that, a lot of the parts where they wanted to play it realistically is was nice to see. The same part where he fires the gun, not only did it hurt his hands, it's loud as fucking in a room. You don't want to fire a weapon like that in a room because you will not hear for a long time. It will be damaging to your hearing for a decent amount of time, and there'll be decibel levels you're not going to ever hear again if you fire a gun in an enclosed room. So the parts where they put the reality into it, the parts where they made him later on when she pretends to, okay, she doesn't pretend to shoot him, when she shoots him for the cameras with the vest on when nobody knows, to quote unquote kill him. Like, he's playing that injury for the rest of the movie. He got shot 5 times in the chest with a very large caliber weapon wearing a vest. Like, yeah, you're going to be alive, but you're going to kind of wish you weren't. I mean, that's right. That's just how it's going to be. I did like the part where they grounded the movie some. Yes, the fight scenes were crazy and out of this world. And, you know, but the parts where they decided to keep it real, him not being able to fire the guns, her actually like, you know, here's how you lined it up, here's how you do this, him being like, ow, this hurts because this shit's bolted
with the
to sight my
hand here at the back, and the front aren't just decoration.
You know, those parts were cool because it kind of kept you with like, okay, I can see that I'm not completely like, oh, this could never happen. No, of course it could never happen, but it gives me just enough where I'm like, yeah, I still can hang into this movie.
They
like
took
that.
Enough of the non-plausible aspects of this movie like happening, mm-hmm. and they took enough of the real world that we live in and dropped it in there. So you stayed in that reality, but accepting it at the same time. You were like, all right, cool. Like, they go deaf when they shoot in a fucking inside of a bathroom stall. Makes sense, right? Yeah.
Right.
Not they fired a whole clip and then got in a fist fight and broke 8 sinks and no one's eardrums have popped, or, you know, like,
right. Right. Okay. So we've talked about a lot of stuff we like. So tell me some things. It was wasn't your favorite in this movie? Was there anything that jumped out at you? Where you're like, I could have done without that.
Probably not. Like, I mean, I watched 5 movies or something that night. This one. So like, I was in a pretty gung-ho movie mood,
right?
And everyone I was clicking on was different, but seemed to be like what I needed at the time, I guess, when movie-wise. And it's just a fun movie. Like, there was nothing really in it where I was like, oh, man. Like, I didn't, her dying, I'm like, meh. You know, like, where it's all her going on fire and stuff because they got to work their way out. But I just was kind of like, I mean, we shot a drone with a rocket launcher, guys. Like,
can't chuck that C4 down there.
Yeah, there isn't any
there.
Other. I mean, I know she probably wants out, and that's a whole like martyrism thing for the. I guarantee, probably when that was written and spoken, that whole scene was like in a martyr view. So everyone was probably like,
oh,
yeah, yeah.
Was,
but then
she even pulled the. She
well, that's what I'm saying.
Cross stance,
but like when you film it and watch it at the end after everything you've seen in the movie, it's almost too much of a letdown. You're like, I'd have been cool if she went out in an explosion, but he needed to die too. Right. Like, it was for the whole sacrificial lamb thing to like let the guy that didn't know how to work guns out. Yeah. We're in a world where people get kidnapped and murder each other. I think she's going to survive the situation more than anyone.
Right. The couple things that bugged me, just like, I'm not a huge fan of the, we only have this much ammo, like the 50, he had 50 rounds in each hand. And it wasn't that it took me out of the movie that much. It was just like, I was like, oh man, like, this guy already has all this going against him. You're going to give him one more handicap.
See,
where he doesn't
have.
Great.
See,
I was just like,
because it was such a dick move, right? It's like, hey, here's Nyx, who's killing everybody, who's basically in God mode, because she, anytime you see her, she has a plethora of something else, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know where her stockpile is of what she's got or who she's calling in that's dropping off her shit, but to basically go snag somebody that was running their mouth to you and go, fuck you, you're in the game, here's 100 bullets, and by the way, I put a ticker on it because I know your dumbass is going to just fire off a bunch, and then you're going to look and go, oh, fuck, I got 3 left. You're probably going to die. Like, it's a great way for you to just stick it to someone else, going like, you're going to see when you die because you're going to run out of bullets from not being able to fucking hit anything, you stupid shit-talking little asshole. Let me do my thing. Like, right. I was like, yo, this bad guy's a fucking dick, dude. That's such a cunty move to do.
that's my second gripe, is I did not like the big bad. I didn't like the main bad guy. And not, I didn't like him like, ooh, he's a bad guy, I'm supposed to hate him. Like, he was almost like too quirky, and like, I was like, he was pulling me out of it. Like, he wasn't believably that person. Now, he's probably, I think they were saying he was like a psychopath or had some, there's something mentally wrong with the man. We understand that. But like, just the way, I don't know if it's the way he played him or if the director was like, no, give me, you're at 6. I need you at an 8. Like, get up there and get crazy with this. Like, it was the kind of crazy where I was kind of like, you're just pulling, like, you're pulling me out of it, man. Just a little bit. You're kind of like, you're almost too goofy to be this evil. Like, if you're going to be this evil, you don't need to be that goof. It didn't all mesh with me, with him.
I guess. I don't know.
Just a little,
like,
bit. That was all.
Yeah. I mean, like, in my eyes, like, I don't know how else he would be. Like, what, I mean, I know Dr. Evil's not the right guy to use, but you know what I'm saying? Just the guy that sits behind the desk that's all like Bond villain, right? Like, a Bond villain ain't making schism.
Yeah. I mean, you're correct. It takes a certain type of person to make that kind of thing, but like, his quirkiness wasn't evil enough. I don't know if that's the right way to put it. I mean, he choked a guy, he killed a guy.
I was gonna say, like, when he choked the guy out right in front of everybody and was like giving him scripting notes as he was choking him out and telling other people to record it as it, he's like, this will be good. I kind of feel like that's evil and psychotic and fucking insane.
Something about him or how he was told to play it or how he played it just irked me a little bit. It wasn't enough that I wasn't going to watch it again.
I think it's thing, like, I you're experiencing my Michael C. Hall as a bad guy. Like, you look at him and go, I could beat you up. Like, right. That is it. Like, even though he's tattooed and he's got this crazy fucking internet murder mayhem thing happening, you go, if I ran into you, now, maybe if I was by myself, I'd be like, fuck this, I got kids. But if my children were here, I could most certainly beat the living fuck out of you.
Right, I'll go to you right in the dick. Yeah. This is going to have to happen.
You would go say one of your doopy little fucking murdery lines there, tattoo man, while I am stomping your face in. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I thought he was going to be a weirdo, but I didn't think he was going to be closer to the geriatric age. Like, if he would have been... like, even in his mid-20s and, like, shaved head and tattooed up but didn't look young but looked like he had, like, a hard 20s.
Right.
That would, like, that crazy insanity of, like fucking yeet or whatever, right? You know, like, that would make sense. But some of the stuff the guy was saying, it's almost like when you talk to, like, your parents or grandparents, or when, like, my children now talk to me and they say some shit and I go, huh? Or me talking to them and they're like, huh? It's just, you go, you're using words that aren't of our generation. Why are you talking like that?
And I'll tell you what, something that probably that just occurred to me, the fact that he was so old should have scared us. In the world he lit, should have scared us. I feel like you just said it. He's that old. That should immediately go, oh shit, you could get by, like, you'll do anything to survive type thing. You're the old guy who's like, you should have died 30 years ago in the line of work that you do type thing. You're the old guy. What's your secret? And his is like, his has led him down this psychopath, but he's been psycho since he killed Nix's family. That was, you know,
well, yeah. And that was just him doing his thing and recording it, you know, like, yeah, the bad guy reminded me of, wow, I can't remember. William H. Macy's character, Frank Gallagher in Shameless. Like, in the show Shameless, like, Frank's a drug addict and all this shit. But, like, there'll just be random episode. And, like, as the story's progressed or whatever, you know, Frank's sucking a dude's dick because he owes money, or, you know, some shit like that, right? Like, he's that low. Like, he, that guy seemed like he would take those kind of measures just to keep going in whatever little murder. He'd be like, all right, that's fine. Like, you're going to rape me. Okay. But then the moment, right, like, he got that was done and passed, he, like, fucking bookended it and was like, I'm going to kill him. I've now plotted my plan, right? Like,
right,
anything to keep him alive for that moment to get his revenge. Mm-hmm. That, yeah. Yeah, he was.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. Now, that being said, I'm kind of intrigued. Like, this is one of those movies that it was a good, you know, couple days, but I'm like, okay, I want to see two. I want to see two. I could have sworn you, I just watched you mute that thing.
I did. It's like still going off.
I want to see the next movie. I want to see him now that he's survived and he has had his hands fixed. He's absolved of all the issues that he had because of, you know, the cops and all the killing and stuff. Like, he's good to go. And now he is this guy who's on a mission to destroy all the schism networks that have spread out throughout the world. Like, I'm excited about Guns Akimbo 2, if there ever becomes one. It's definitely left you in that, like, he's now taken on, you know, it's kind of like when at the end of Matrix, when he's like, okay, I got my cloak, I got my glasses, I'm now coming after you type thing. Or Resident Evil. I mean, it's all the same kind of, like, great movie, but now let's get to what you just got, you showed me at the very last second. You know, that's where I'm at with it now.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I was kind of like, that's cool. But again, I just still feel like he would die really quickly.
Not right? More. Now he's a god.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, he went through like one thing where the other psycho killer that was with him is the one that did basically most of the work. Like, yeah, they have their whole scene where all of a sudden he learned how to like fucking gunfight like Equilibrium and was like pop, 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 you know. But I just kind of feel like the first other bad guy he runs into, and especially when the word gets out, right? Like that, hey, little old Bolt Hands is coming for you. Someone's
here
just
comes Bolt Hands.
Yeah, right. Like, someone's just gonna fucking snipe him. Like, it wouldn't be much of a thing. I don't.
Right.
And it's not like he has Batman money to go do what he needs to do. No one's funding this. Like, where is this, like, where's your ammo coming from? You don't have a job anymore.
But he's not sitting behind the computer needlessly shitting on people from he's taking action. Is that the lesson we're supposed to learn?
Well, it's the lesson is like stand up for yourself and take action. I just think the lesson should also be like within moderation. You're not a universal soldier. Like, you're not gonna go stop this network of things. Like, you got lucky because Nyx was with you, my man. You're right. Only here because she decided to kill everybody and then die. That's all there is to it. Because
she showed up in a junkyard with a Gatling gun and blew away a whole bunch of guys doing a drug deal or a guns deal or whatever it was.
I was slightly annoyed with that scene if we're talking about things that didn't go correctly, because she stood up on top of that car with that fucking Gatling gun and they were all just right there. The fact that there was even a mad scramble for as long as there was with that shit is bonkers. Because every one of those dudes was like within, I could spit on them and hit four of them. It, like, right, she could have just turned sideways with the trigger already pulled and would have murdered half of them. But I hated that there was a mad dash. I was like, I really was expecting just to see like a whole bunch of bodies get cut in half. And then like him on the ground, like, don't shoot, just wait, I gotta help. You know, like, I got an idea. Like, but it was this up here, just like her firing off insane amount of bullets.
I do have to admit, especially with that scene and a lot of the other stuff. Yeah, the comedy timing, Data Radcliffe's comedy timing is beautiful.
Yes, the overall like flow of this movie is quick. There are very few slow scenes, and in the ones that there are, it's usually them talking. And it's usually his character getting fucking sideways slapped with some words about some dumb shit he just said or did. Like when he runs into the alley and is talking to the homeless guy.
The homeless guy was by far my favorite character of the entire movie.
Like, I thought somehow he was like on the inside of the schism, like a guy that made it out or something, you know. But when they pan back to him later as the story's telling and he's watching the blank TV cheering for the skin to him.
That part is where I lost it at that point. I was like, this is fantastic. This has such hidden gems in it.
There's because
they're going between everybody who's watching him and he's cheering and it's nothing's on the television.
Yes. And yeah, and there are little things like that throughout the whole sequence of the movie, like when he goes back into the office for the first time and he's telling his buddy and he's like, I can't grab it, man. Just put your hand in my pocket. And he's like, I'm not doing it. He's like, just put your hand in my fucking. He's like, what, dude? I'm not doing. It's weird because, you know, they're friends. But if you walked up to me and were like, hey, man, put your hand in my pocket and grab my phone, my first words to you would be like, you're out of your fucking mind. What's in your pocket? Like, why can't you do this? You know, and they did it right, because everybody would go, why can't you grab your own phone? And then he just stands up and starts doing like the hip thrust at him, like, just get it. And then bullets start happening. And that part's even more. He's like, you going to grab the fucking phone now? Like, ha, jackass, I'm getting shot at. Is this the motivation you needed to like put your hand in my pocket?
that guy shoots you with the Nerf gun. And like, all the fans are like, oh, no. We love that guy. We love Nerf guy.
Did Nerf guy just shoot her?
Right.
Oh my God.
Too bad they had to shoot him in the middle of it. That sucks. Because they were pretending it was his girlfriend. But yeah, that guy was funny, because he was the one who was like, oh, it's still warm from your thigh. Like when he grabbed the phone. I mean, but Daniel Radcliffe's like, his comedy delivery when it came to like in the junkyard scene where he's like trying to talk to the guys who have the guns on him, and then she shows up and they're like, what are you doing here, little girl? And he's like, and now we're all dead. Thanks, guy. Like there was just parts of it that just, I just laughed out loud for real. That wasn't just like, ha, that was funny. It was like, oh no, that was fucking hilarious. Like, way to go, bud. But yeah, it is a fun watch. If you haven't watched it, we've given away a lot of the plot and you have not been listening to this podcast.
But you don't even need the plot for it.
But like, there isn't one. It's just guns and bullets and blood and
dude wakes
comedy.
Up, got guns, and's got to go fucking end it. Like, there it is. And then just enjoy the mayhem that happens in the middle. Like, it is a great, just throw it the fuck on and like sit down with some peoples and go, anybody seen this? No. And no one will probably be disappointed. Right. You know, but it's not a like.
It's a love story.
It's a
love story. It's an action story. It's a nice drama. It's a cop story. It's a whodunit. It's a who's bad, who's good story. It's great.
Yeah, I like I think it's like kind of like when you go, instead of playing your Xbox or something like that or whatever, it's like actually going to the arcade. Like, this is like an arcade movie. It's it's what it is. It's quick. It's like, you threw your quarter in and you're like, oh shit, this was frantic and bonkers. And you're like, damn, I'm out, I'm done. Like, that's what it is.
Right.
You know, instead of, yeah, man, leveled my character up to fucking 86 and saved that shit, bitch.
I grinded for 18 hours.
Right, yeah.
To get this sword. Like, found
this guy boosting me the whole time, dude. Didn't work for a fucking thing. It was great.
Exactly. So, but yeah, check it out. Guns Akimbo. We enjoyed it. It was great. We're glad to be back on the mic. We are through our summer funk. We are ready to get rocking with Star Trek. Lower Decks, if you have not heard about it, I don't know if you're a Star Trek fan how you haven't, but it's a comedy. It's a cartoon. It is the first Star Trek geared cartoon that is geared A, towards adults, and B, towards comedy. It's going to have some great, like, I'm going to be picking stuff out of it you've never heard of, Corey. And I'm going to be like, oh man, they're referencing this, this, and this. And it's so hilarious that they're talking about it. And you're going to be like, I didn't get it. Which is going to be great for like 10 straight weeks. It's going to be fantastic. But it's all, you know, it's on CBS All Access. Discovery Season 3 is right after that. We get to pretty much a soft reboot of the entire series because they're in way far in the future. So we don't have to worry about anybody who's bitching about canon or how the hell is this like that and blah, blah, blah. So that's all. That's where we're at. And yeah, so we're going to wrap it up.
Hey,
would you do a silly picture of her smirking? Nice. Now I feel like I'm gonna go find all these pictures of girls with cat fangs on and just send you them like for no reason. Just
right. Like, I'm gonna be like, I don't want any more fish sticks. I've had enough fish sticks. It was like a thing that I haven't had since my childhood, and I had fish sticks, and now I'm good. I don't need them again. You're like, more sharp teeth, man? No, dude. I've moved off the sharp teeth. Pointy ears. Let's go. Something new.
Right. So, all right. Well, thank you, everybody, for who listened, who tuned in, who stayed subscribed to us after we didn't do podcasts for a couple weeks. And if you're just finding us for the first time, we have done a lot of Star Trek in the past. We've done a lot of Game of Thrones in the past. We've done... What else have we done? I don't know.
We did that weird...
Westworld a couple times.
Yeah, we did that weird time travel movie where the guy had sex with himself and made a baby.
That's weird. Yeah, we did a whole time travel series.
No, whatever. But yeah, who's the dude in it?
Nathan Lane? No.
No.
Ethan Hawke?
Ethan Hunt?
Ethan Hawke?
No. Don't look it up. We can figure it out.
It's Ethan something.
Well, then it was Ethan Hawke because I think he was the dude married to Uma Thurman.
Yeah, it's Ethan Hawke. That's who it is. I was right.
I love me some Uma.
And that's a whole different podcast.
Yeah, dude. Like that fucking scene in like Be Cool or Get Shorty, whichever one it was, where it was her laying on the deck just like sunbathing. I was like, fuck, Uma's just... God damn it.
All you need is some cat teeth and you're set.
Just backed and put a few fangs on her and paint her up like Poison Ivy. Let's go. All right. I got to get the fuck out of here.
We're done.
I got to go to Pornhub and sort some really specific categories.
Like incognito window. We don't want to remember what we searched for tonight.
Yeah. Please, history, do not keep track of this.
Thanks, everybody. And we will catch you next week for the first episode of Lower Decks. See you then.
See ya.